Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19. And if you will follow with me or read with me, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angel of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head. He set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. This is the word of God for the people of God. As Jacob flees the dangers of a family feud, he unexpectedly encounters the grace and the goodness of God. The thing to note about this passage is the fact that Jacob did not go to a church service. Jacob wasn't having a divine encounter where he said, I'm going to go on a pilgrimage, I'm going to go to a monastery, I'm going to go to a church, I'm going to go to a temple. Jacob is running. The context of this is that Jacob's essentially stolen the birthright from his brother Esau. And his mother's up to this, and she's reading the dynamic in the family, and she says to him, listen, I think things are a little bit hot in the house. I'm scared for your life. I think you need to speak to your dad, Isaac, and you need to get his blessing, and you need to get out of here before something happens. Jacob's an exile. He's running. He's on the run. He has his father's blessing. He has his mother's blessing, but he is leaving for a very intentional purpose. He's not looking for a church service. He's not looking for a worship service. This is not a prayer meeting or devotional. This is Jacob on the run. And yet he finds a rock, he puts it down, he sleeps because he's tired. It says this because the sun has set, not because he had a divine revelation. Just somewhere out of nowhere, he stops, I'm going to sleep, and God is there. Finding God in unexpected places. Finding God when we don't expect to find Him, but He's there and He shows up in a beautiful, beautiful way. I know in my life there have been places that I've gone that God has shown up and I've found God. Actually, God finds us. We don't find God. He's not lost. God finds us. Going on youth camps. Why do young people go on youth camps? To find Jesus. No, they don't. To find a girlfriend, to find a boyfriend, to hang out with your friends. Let's be honest. Tell the truth, shame the devil. That's what happens. But how many young people have gone on youth camps and encountered Jesus? I recall a time in my life when I decided to be a great tourist and go look at the sights. I might have told you the story. Went to go see this beautiful waterfall. It was a wonderful waterfall, beautiful, one of the biggest in the world. It was great. And all I was going to do was take in the sights. I had my camera. I was ready, all set up. And I walked away because God met me in that place. Now, God wasn't in the waterfall, but through the waterfall, He was able to display His glory because nature testifies to the glory of God, Romans chapter 1. We find God in all sorts of places. God shows up even when we are not expecting Him. As a pastor, I find that God shows up sometimes when I'm not expecting as well. And I'm afraid sometimes I guess I should be expecting these things all the time. But you know, sometimes you go because you need to go visit somebody in the hospital. I remember a particular time when somebody said, "Can you go visit my father in the hospital?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to go visit your father in the hospital." I walked in, we sat, we chatted. And before we left, I said, "Hey, why don't we just pray together?" And this beautiful, kind young man said, "Yeah, let's pray." And I just sensed the presence of God in that hospital room. In fact, we're still friends till today. I remember going to visit an elder lady in my church, one of my previous churches. Beautiful lady. In fact, her name was Margaret Preston, and she had the unfortunate, how do we say, she was my Sunday school teacher. When I was this big, she was my Sunday school teacher. What a blessing to be her pastor. I remember visiting her. She was in the emergency room, and she had had a heart attack, and it's you know, the strange things where Sunday morning you see her at the door. She's at the front door. She's greeting people. She's been there her whole life, and then she's had a heart attack. I'm like, "What? I just saw her like a few days ago." And then I go visit her in the hospital, and as I'm visiting her in the, she's not in the ER, she's in ICU, and I'm standing next to her bed, and I look at her face, and it's shining like I've never seen anybody's face shine before. And she just says, "I have peace with my Maker. If He takes me now, I'm ready." I never expected to see that. And I never expected Him to take her, but He did. But I met Jesus in that ICU room right there. We find Jesus in places when we don't expect Him. We go to funerals expecting to mourn, but we find hope because God is there. We go on missions to Africa because we believe we might mean to somehow try to alleviate the poverty, or we go to desperate places within our own city thinking we need to try and bring something there. And when we meet people, we feel sometimes like we are here to bring Jesus. And instead of bringing Jesus, we find the people we meet bring Jesus to us. And we find Jesus in these very unexpected places and these unexpected situations. Things in Luke chapter 10, when we read about the Good Samaritan, it's the story of a man who is lying in a ditch. He's half dead. He's traveling between Jerusalem and Jericho. He is expecting death. He's expecting problems. He's already had problems on this road. He's not expecting to encounter a Good Samaritan, but he does. Finding Jesus, Jesus encountering our lives, Jesus intersecting with our existence in the most unexpected places. So God shows up, and He shows up very unexpectedly. What are we to do with that? A couple of weeks ago, I decided I needed to go connect with God. This is the way I do things sometimes. I decide I need to. It was early morning. I generally go for a cycle in the morning. For those, some of you know that. If I need to get exercise done, it has to be done before it gets really hot, which means never. Okay, it is always too hot. So I have kind of figured out that if you can get out as the light is starting to come, about 6:30 in the morning, I can get on my bicycle, I can hit a couple of miles on the road, that's good. But I decided on this particular morning, I am going to go and find a lake. There's a lake near where I live. So I got on my bicycle, I rode to this lake, I sat down on a bench at this lake, and I said, "God, today I need to talk to You. I need to hear You. I need to encounter You. I need," and I mean, the ducks were there, and the birds were flying over, and the breeze, you know, the normal, like, beautiful thing. After 20 minutes, I got up. I said, "God, I've got more questions now than I had before I started, and I'm more confused. I think I'm leaving." And I left. Isn't it strange how sometimes we go looking for God, we don't seem to find Him. Other times, we don't think He's going to be there, yet He shows up. Interestingly enough, we unintentionally have expectations on certain places, and we create this mentality that God's going to show up in some places and not other places. I go to the lake saying, "God will show up." God did show up. He did speak to me, maybe not there, but God did speak to me, and I had this continual sense of what God was saying. But we sometimes say that if God is going to talk to me and I'm going to encounter God, it's going to have to be on Sunday morning. Man, if you're only encountering God on Sunday morning, you have a very small Christian existence. No, I'm not saying that to be derogatory. I'm saying that because there's such a huge, hugeness of God out there, you're missing out on so much of God. If you think God only speaks in your devotional, He speaks in so many other ways. If you think you can only encounter God in a prayer meeting, there are so many places where God is just showing up all the time and speaking. God is speaking all the time. The question is not whether He's there. The question is whether we are listening. One of the greatest revelations of my life is this, is that God just continually is talking. God is continually communicating. God is continually trying to connect with us in some of the most beautiful ways. We don't all see it, but it's happening. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." So as long as we have heavens, there is a declaration of the glory of God. "The sky above proclaims His handiwork day to day, pours out speech night to night, reveals knowledge." Shortly after I left high school, I was trying to discern my calling and figure out what God wanted me to do. And that in itself was a long story. Most of my things are long stories. Have you noticed that? I've got lots of long stories. But I found myself spending a year in Africa in an organization called Youth with a Mission. Some of you might know YWAM, Youth with a Mission. One of really most impactful years of my life. I met some great people, some really great people. Some I took with me and we married and started a family. It was a great year. But one of the things is just the discipleship and the way I just felt that there was so much that I learned. Now, you need to understand something. I didn't go there because I never knew God. I had already surrendered my life to God. I had made a commitment to God. I had been in church my whole life. I had been serving God my entire life, essentially. I had been committed to God. I'd been wrestling with a call already. So when I got there, it wasn't like I was unfamiliar with the scripture. I'd never been in a church. I'd never learned anything. But one of the lessons that we learned was this. They said, "Well, this week we're going to learn how to hear the voice of God." And I went, "What are you talking about? The voice of God?" Now, as I say that, some of you are like, okay, that's weird. Well, that's exactly what I thought. And then I thought to myself, think about it for a second. Does God speak? It's a good question, because here's the question, because if you say yes, then you have to ask how and why have I or haven't I heard Him, or how do I hear Him, and it becomes a big discussion. And I'm not going to go into the details of that. I'll just say one thing. He never contradicts His word. So let's just leave it at that, and sometime we can sit down and we'll talk about that and we'll maybe have a workshop on that or something. That's fine. But this is how I reason it. God communicates. God gave me the ability to communicate. He gave you the ability to communicate. Right now, I am communicating. Hopefully effectively, but I know sometimes not always that effectively, but we give our best, okay? We know that we have speech to communicate. We know that when we look at one another, we can see body language communicates. We know that there are different ways. I mean, I just said to you that I met somebody and you knew exactly who I was talking about because I pointed, I communicated to you. So we can continually communicate in different ways. But I'm created in the image of God. If I can communicate, can we really think that God is not able to communicate, yet He gave us the ability to communicate? Surely the God of all the universe, who spoke the world into being, has the ability to talk and to communicate in one way or another, whether it's an audible voice or a still, quiet impression upon our lives. Surely God has the ability to talk and to communicate and to speak to us. The truth is, He does. I had to wake up in that year and realize, hang on a minute, I have not been living a vital living relationship with God. I have spent a lot of my time really in a very cognitive space without realizing that whatever I have that God is bringing to me has to translate into my life, and I have a living relationship with Jesus. Some of you say you listen and God doesn't talk. Yeah. He's still saying something, isn't he? He might be saying, "You didn't listen last time. Let's get that one done first." But God is continually communicating. He communicates through His word. He communicates through the preaching of the word. He communicates when we pray for one another. He communicates in fellowship. There's so many ways. Surely the God who gave us the ability to communicate is Himself communicating and communicating with us. We can see as well that hearing the voice of God is one way, but there's different ways that God leads us. It's not just hearing, it's also discerning what God is saying, seeing when God is present. In Acts chapter 16, we see that Paul travels, and as he's traveling and he's trying to do certain things, he's saying, I'm going this way. The Spirit led me here, but the Spirit stopped me from going there. And then I had a dream, and the Spirit said, I need to go here. All these things are God's way of speaking into his creation and being involved. In Genesis chapter 28, 13 and 15, our passage, we see that God speaks to Jacob. He gives him a word. And if we look at that word very carefully, we see there's one or two things he does. The first thing we see is that he reveals himself. He says that I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. God says, this is who I am. In the midst of all these pagan gods, this is who I am. And he reveals himself to Jacob. There comes a time in our lives where we have to hear from God, and God has to become our God. There's a time when God is the God of Abraham. There's a time when God is the God of Isaac. But there comes a time in Jacob's life when God has to become the God of Jacob. There was a time in my life when my God was the God of my father, the God of my mother. But there had to come a time in my life when God has to become a God that I know, not a God that I know through somebody else. He reveals himself. The second thing he does is he gives him a promise. And he says, the land on which you lie, I will give you, and to your offspring, and to your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And if you think about that and you consider the promise that he gives there as well, he says, I'm going to make you a blessing. Everybody will be blessed. Think for a second. Where have we heard that before? It's the promise of Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 to 3, I will bless you. You're going to go to a foreign land, but I will bless you and I'll give you the land and you're going to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. That promise that comes from God lives. Where's Abraham? He's dead. I know it sounds terrible. He's gone. Guess what's happening? The promise lives on. The promise lives on. You might be running, you might be in exile, you might be on your way out, you might be heading in a direction. The promise is alive. You think the promise died with Abraham? It never died with Abraham. Now, I want this to sink in for a second. What's happened in your life where you think the promise has died? Where you think the promise is gone, it's finished, it's over? The word of the Lord will not return void. It will come to pass as God has said it will come to pass. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. And then he assures him and he says to him, I will be with you. I will be with you. Let me pick up. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. We serve a faithful, faithful God. Is this what Jacob was expecting? Is this what Jacob was expecting as he headed out and kind of said a very quick goodbye? Hey, bye Dad, bye Mom, give me some snacks, we're out of here. And as for my brother, tell him I say goodbye. I don't think we need to say goodbye personally. Got some issues going on there. Heads out. Quickly, he's gone, he's on the run, he's heading out. Is this what Jacob was expecting? This is not what Jacob was expecting, because we see in verse 16, he goes, surely God was in this place. This is a death. There's nothing here. There's a rock. If there was some nice place to sleep, I would have slept there. There's a rock. I'm using a rock. There's nothing here. And in the place of nothing, think of Moses. In the place of nothing, a bush appears and speaks to him. In the place of nothing, a dream comes as he puts his head. Sometimes in the place of nothing, something comes. God is even in that place of nothing. What would you have expected of that place? Or put differently, what do you expect when you find yourself in places like that? What do you expect when you find yourself in a desperate place and you don't know which way to turn? What do you expect when you find yourself alone? And you're feeling lonely and you feel like You're in a desert and you don't know where you are or which way to go, or you're running and you're thinking, I don't know what I'm running from, where I'm running to, how can I find myself? What are you expecting? Are you expecting to find God? What about those days when you wake up and you're feeling really anxious? The days when you get bad news and you don't know how to process bad news. The days when you feel abandoned. The days when you feel rejected and alone. But isn't that where we have to stop and remember? That's where God is. It's just incredible to see how in the lonely place, with his head on a rock, God shows up. Isn't it incredible to see how you can go to a hospital and people are sick? And you get in the elevator sometime as you're going up, you look at people and they kind of like, you know, they're dealing with stuff. And you think to yourself, this is not a nice place. People are sick around here. There's a lot of pain. But isn't that just exactly where God suddenly just shows up? And he reveals himself in a beautiful way and says, I am your God. And I am with you always. God is closer than we realize. God wants to be close and he wants to be near to us. We see it in so many ways. Let me bring things to a close. Advent will come in December. We will remember that God is called Emmanuel, but we should never forget that God is Emmanuel, God with us. The reason he came to earth is because God wants to be with you. If we have a look in John chapter 16, Jesus says, I'm going. And they're like, you going? He says, I'm going. Because God the Son had to go so that God the Spirit could be with us and with us all. We have a doctrine we believe in. It's called the omnipresence of God. And you know what that basically means? That means that God can be with you and with me at the same time, because through the Holy Spirit, he is with us all the time. And as soon as we stop that, we get despondent. As soon as we stop remembering that, we might get disheartened, but God is with us. In Genesis 28:15, know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Our God is the God of Abraham. Our God is the God of Isaac. Our God is the God of Jacob. Our God is the God that is with us always, even to the very end of the age. Jacob responds and he acknowledges God, and acknowledges the presence of God. We should spend more time slowing down. Coffees, come on. Coffee is like from the gods. Not those gods, only God himself. There's no gods. They're just beautiful. But you know what we should do is we should stop drinking coffee fast. We should drink it slowly with friends. Discerning that maybe sometimes in Starbucks you can have a sacred moment. And when you walk out, you could say, surely God was in this place, and I really did not expect that. Maybe when you go and you do your grocery shopping, you're checking out or you're meeting somebody, and you have a short 2-minute conversation, you can walk away and you can say, surely God was in this place, and I didn't realize it. But it starts with acknowledging that God is always present and he's always with us. And if we stop expecting God to only show up in our spiritual meetings, but to rather show up throughout our lives, wow, how big is our world when God is continually with us? The second thing Jacob does is he worships him. He worships the Lord. He takes a stone and he puts it up and he pours oil on this pillar. He makes a vow to God. And this is the interesting thing. He doesn't have a church service. There's no choir. Well, we don't have one either, but that's fine. Give us time. Just give us time. Just give us time. We'll get there. There's no preacher. There's no altar call. There's no coffee, whether it's good or bad. There's no coffee. There's a rock and oil. And he says, God, if you will be my God. This is worship. Commitment. I will be faithful to you. We sometimes don't understand what worship is. Worship is a lifestyle. We can sing songs and not worship, but we can live our lives and worship. The way we get up in the morning, the way we do our shopping, the way we drink our coffee, the way we give God honor and glory in everything we do, we can worship Him in everything we do. More than a Sunday morning, worship is a lifestyle of deep commitment to God that is evidenced by our obedience to His will and His way in all that we do. Surely God was in this place and I did not know it. I'll give you one scripture and then we'll close in prayer. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Let us pray.